Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When we want to talk Penguins, we always turn to our good friend and Post-Gazette's very own Jason Mackey. Jason, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? Last night, not exactly the way that you wanted the game or the second part of the season after the All-Star break to start.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the way they drew it up. that was about as poor as an effort as they've had in a while. I thought they were really bad in San Jose, way out west, you know, before the All-Star break, and this was equally as bad, if not worse. That was not a 6-3 hockey game at all, and I think what was concerning for the Penguins is just the overall sort of lassitude that they had and couldn't shake from their game. The power play continues to struggle and give up shorthanded goals at an alarming rate. Their defensemen were way too lax in gap control and just how they defended people. Forwards were not tracking back. I mean, a lot of the progress that they made in December and during their 8-game winning streak just kind of went out the window. And I think Mike Sullivan is starting to grow more frustrated. I think the team leaders are starting to grow more frustrated. And the Penguins are at a situation right now where they can't really, you know, laugh this one off. It's a competitive division, and they need to figure it out soon.
Well, I was amazed when I think it was you that tweeted out there, 1-7-1 versus last place teams, 0-3 versus the Devils. If you look at it, if they just were a little better there, they'd probably be in first place.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can pick apart with their record, too. I mean, and I'll give them credit where it's due. Jonathan Bombulli from the Tribune Review was the one who pointed that out first, their record against last-place teams. He asked Mike Sullivan about it in the morning, being 1-6-1 at the time. And Sullivan said, yeah, there is something to it, and they've lacked urgency, and they need to find more urgency and all this stuff, you know, before the game. And the Penguins do none of the sort. They've, you know, sort of in the Mike Tomlin vein, they've played down to their competition and they've paid for it. I think you can look at a lot of things, Paul, that they've done throughout the year and maybe feel kind of this empty feeling. Like, look at what they've done in overtime. They have some of the best three-on-three players in the game, and yet I think they've had 11 games go to overtime, and they've only won 4 of them. That's not good enough. You need to win more than those when you have a team of Crosby and Malkin and Kessel and Letang and all these guys. So, I mean, we can look at games against Jersey that they should have had, games against last place teams, overtime games. They've just let quite a few points slip through their fingers.
Yeah, you know, I think last night you the shorthanded goal syndrome hit them again. I mean, you talk to those guys often, and you're in that locker room. Does anybody in that locker room, and I guess the answer would be if they did, it wouldn't be happening. Does any of them have actual answer as to why this continues to happen?
You know what? I don't think it's about an answer, Paul. I mean, I think if you ask them, like, what's wrong? What do you need to do? They know what they need to do. They're just not doing it. I mean, it's not rocket science here. You need to not lose the puck in stupid situations. You know, look at what happened to Evgeny Malkin and that led to the shorthanded goal last night. Other times, you know, Chris Letang's turnover at the blue line, trying like a blind backhanded pass in L.A. Like, that's going to get picked off. Those are stupid plays. Like, when Letang watches the video of that, he knows he shouldn't do that. But in the moment, I don't know if these guys can't help themselves. Like, it's such a deeper mindset for what they're doing to take these risks. Like, I legitimately think that they're making these plays not thinking that they're going to go wrong. And I don't think they should be out there fearing the worst at all times, but I do think you need to sort of temper your expectations. You can't just carry the puck all over the ice, do whatever the heck you want with it, and not think that the other team's going to try to steal it off of you. That's what they get paid to do. And so, I think part of the blame falls on Mike Sullivan, too, that he's allowing the same group to go out there day after day. And sooner or later, I think you have to kind of guard against these plays that the Penguins' power play guys are trying, and maybe put two defensemen out there and just cover your butt.
Yeah, it was interesting watching that game last night. Now, you know, they gave up a lot of goals. Clearly, you know, you sometimes point to the goaltender, but I don't know. A lot of those goals seem to me to have more to do with the defense than anything Matt Murray was doing. Was that correct? Now, obviously, I'm watching it out of the corner of my eye here, trying to do a show. Was that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Murray could have been a lot better last night. And where Matt Murray got into trouble was, I mean, he's 6'4", right? Like, he is better when he's playing straight up, playing big in his net. I mean, he's like a pocket passer, right? Like, you don't want your bigger quarterbacks dropping down sidearm and, you know, whatever. You want them throwing over the top. And he kind of didn't do that last night. That's where his fault was. And a couple of the goals he let in, he was just a little bit smaller than he should have been. And the second one he let in was from some pretty significant distance. I believe that was Severson's. But in the scheme of things, I mean, what was wrong with the Penguins last night? Like, I guess you can put Murray in the group you want to blame, but I'm sure not putting it all on him. They stunk in front of him, and it's a team-wide effort for losing that one.
No, absolutely. Now, you had a really interesting point about the trade they made yesterday, which was essentially, you know, Oleksiak for what, a fourth rounder, I think, is what.
Yep.
Okay. And you kind of feel like that was sort of just trying to clear a little money to make another deal. Do you, 24 hours later, still feel that's the same way?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what they're doing. It happened for two reasons, and I talked to Jim Rutherford about this yesterday, and the first one was that they're going to have nine defensemen whenever Justin Schultz gets back here in, you know, maybe 2 weeks or something like that, give or take. And the other part of it is, yeah, they want to clear some money, and Jim Rutherford's basically expecting another deal to come along that he may or may not want to act on, but he wants to be in position to do it, and he wants to be able to clear that cap space. So I do think the Penguins want to do at least one other thing, maybe two if it can make sense, but I think it sort of boils down to, at this point, improving their third line. And I think there's two ways you can go about doing that. They can go out and get a third line center if they feel like there's an available option better than Derek Brassard, or they could bring in a winger that could kind of change their middle six. Maybe you play somebody like Tanner Pearson on the third line. You know, a lot of that is up for debate, but what I'm saying is maybe an impact winger they could bring in. But the trade, how I felt about it yesterday, how I feel about it today, how Jim Rutherford feels about it, is they want to clear some space and make sure they're ready in case something pops open.
Well, last one I have for you, Jason. They've got a run of a number of games here in a row. How important is it for this team? I know it's still technically not really the stretch, but they've got it. I mean, they've lost, what, like four out of their last six or something? They've got to get on a little bit of a run here at some point, don't they?
Well, and they have to just start playing better. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. If they play, even if they make it to the playoffs, I mean, who the heck are they going to beat if they play the way they did last night? I mean, they're not going to beat anybody. They're going to be out in the first round. They're probably get swept out of the first round. So I think that's their greater concern. You know, the NHL isn't the greatest when it comes to, like, having to be an elite team to make the playoffs. 16 of the 31 make it, for crying out loud. I think it's entirely too many. But I mean, chances are this team's going to make the playoffs. I think if you're a Penguins fan, what you need to be watching here over these next, I don't know, 36 games or whatever they have left is just how they're playing. You know, Matt Murray's figured his game out. Like, let's not put last night on him. He's got it going. But there's a lot of other parts to their game that need to get going. And allowing the shorthanded goals, defending better, figuring out what your third pair is. Can they continue to score? They're allowing too many goals right now. Not necessarily Matt Murray's fault, but they're not defending as well. So, yeah, they need to get on a run and stack some wins here, yes. But to me, they just need to be playing better, because if they're not, you know, if they're playing like they did out west and they're playing like they did against New Jersey, this is a very poor hockey team.
Jason, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. I know you were traveling, and you've got a lot of games, but hopefully we can now get you at least once a week. Can we do that?
Always got time, my friend. Anytime you need me, I'm there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.